Talk Radio.
Welcome to Right from the Left Coast, and I am your host, Linda, today, and we are coming to you from PatriotFamilies.com, and I wanted to start today with a prayer. I wanted to start with that particular song, and welcome everyone, Bill and Ron, and probably in a few minutes, I just heard from Jake from Sons of Liberty, they will be calling in soon, but I'll start with a little prayer because our friend Yo needs to be held up for healing. Dear Heavenly Father, we come to you with little heavy hearts because our friend Yo is in the hospital with pneumonia, and we want you to hold her up for healing and comfort her and her family and make sure Nick is by her side when he can be and that he stays calm and helps her through this. We are very concerned and we love her. She's a great asset to this family. She's like a sister to me, and I pray, God, that you'll find it in your wisdom and your strength and your mercy and your grace to hold her up for healing and make sure she gets better. We want her back here. And Lord, we love you and we praise you. In Jesus' holy name, I pray. Amen. So anyway, folks, one of the people, and I know everybody wanted to have that prayer said for her because she needs it and we love her. So anyway, I've got tons of stuff to talk about, and hopefully my, here we go, we got Ron already on today. Hi, Ron.
Hey, darling. I'm sorry, I was just listening because the sound kept cutting in and out.
Okay.
The player would cut off.
Well, anyway, I don't know if you got to hear my little short prayer to our Lord, so hopefully.
I did hear most of it, so.
Good. What's happening, if they will call in, and I'm sure they will, because they promised me within the next 6 minutes. They're in Tampa. Bradley is really cool. And I met him at Vista Tea Party Patriots. This was like about a week and a half ago. And they gave an hour speech. And it was just amazing. So I'm going to, you know, you've already got the introduction of who he is, but I'm going to ask him to kind of give a little blurb as to, you know, what they're all about and everything, and then let him kind of go with it. But, yeah, there's so many things going on in our country. I got also an email. One of the elderly gentlemen, I think he was well into his 80s, passed away last night at midnight. So we're praying for him. And, you know, it's scary when these things happen, especially when they hit close to home. So, and I was also, while we're waiting, there was an article I got in the paper today, and it was about Indiana. I just wondered if Bill had heard about this one. It says, fatal outbreak of salmonella linked to an Indiana farm. I'm not sure if he knew about this, but he sent me on Facebook also a thing about all these diseases coming back into our country because of the lovely illegal immigration problem, and they come from all over the world. But, of course, you know, the southern border is about as porous as any sieve you've had in your kitchen, so it's not good. But it said, the California health officials said Tuesday they're investigating an outbreak of foodborne illnesses associated with salmonella-tainted mangoes that has sickened 73 people in our state. They were probing, prompted what the outbreak salmonella, something, breeder up cases, California, and trying to identify which specific mango brands or sources might be tied to the illness. The Canadian Food Inspection Agency recently reported illnesses resulting from the same bacterial strain. Officials with the California Department of Public Health say they're working with U.S. Centers for Disease Control and Prevention. Oh boy, U.S. FDA and Canadian Public Health Food Safety Agencies to pinpoint the cause. Was Tuesday, the U.S. FDA said salmonella found at a cantaloupe farm in southwestern Indiana matches the DNA fingerprint of the salmonella responsible for a deadly outbreak that sickened people in 21 different states. Anyway, so it goes on a little bit about that. So that was kind of interesting. Hey, guest and Michael Magic. So hopefully we'll get our callers in. So what's going on in Georgia? Just while we're waiting. Are you still there, Ron? I guess he's away. All right. Bill says it was one single farm, but they are stopping all. Oh, wonderful. I suppose the EPA and the FDA has got their little hands in everything. However, I'm certainly hoping that Bradley will call in. I also have, while I'm waiting for that, and Michael, you have to catch us in archives because we had a great song in the beginning for prayer and worship, and we said a nice prayer for Yo. And because she's in the hospital with pneumonia, and I'm concerned. So I was reading from my book, and I just thought it was really cool, so I wanted to give a little synopsis of my history today. This was from Hayek's Road to Serfdom, and it was talking about planning. The difficulties caused by the ambiguities of the common political terms are not yet over if we agree to use the term collectivism, so as to include all types of planned economy. Whatever the end of planning, the meaning of this term becomes somewhat more definite if we make it clear that we mean that that sort of planning which is necessary to realize any given distributive ideals. But as the idea of central economic planning owes its appeal largely to this very vagueness of its meaning, it is essential that we should agree on its precise sense before we discuss its consequences. Planning owes its popularity largely to the fact that everybody desires, of course, that we should handle our common problems as rationally as possible, and that in doing so we should use as much foresight as we can command, in the sense everybody who is not a complete fatalist is a planner. Every political act is or ought to be an act of planning, and that there can be differences only between good and bad, because between wise and foresighted and foolish and short-sighted planning. An economist whose whole task is the study of how men actually do and how they might plan their affairs is the last person who could object to planning in this general sense. But it is not in this sense that our enthusiasts for a planned society now employ this term, nor merely in the sense that we must plan if we want the distribution of income or wealth to conform to some particular standard. According to the modern planners, and for their purposes, it is not sufficient to design the most rational permanent framework within the various activities would be conducted by different persons according to their individual plans. This liberal, classic liberal plan, according to them, is no plan, and it is indeed not a plan designed to satisfy particular views about who should have what. What our planners demand is a central direction of all economic activity, or according to a single plan laying down how the resources of a society should be consciously directed to serve particular ends in a definite way. So that is socialism, social planning, social engineering, and economic planning at its worst, and we don't like that. Anyway, so anybody, are you still there, Ron? I didn't know if he was.
I am. Sorry, my pops called. You know, it's just been one of those days.
Yeah.
Everyone's going out of their way to aggravate me today.
So, therefore, the amaretto.
Yes.
Anyway, Bill was saying that they had a single farm, and I guess that was the deal. And, of course, it makes huge news, and that was about the salmonella breakouts and the cantaloupe and the other stuff. They are stopping all farms. I'm not sure if they're closing them all down. I would imagine that the drones are flying over them from the EPA, the rats. But this is like I say, what you know, I hate communism and all the isms, and we don't have complete communism under Stalinist rule yet. But I see going on is darn close to Mussolini's fascism in this country with the corporate cronyism and the craziness. And one of the speeches that I got to see yesterday was Nikki Haley. Man, she nailed it. She was on fire, just, you know, slamming Zero for what he tried to do to Boeing, but apparently they won their case. So they got the plant in.
The thing that kills me with that is they have all these people that can come up and they can talk a good game. And it's real easy. I mean, it's so easy to point out all the failures of the quote unquote opposition. But
sure,
they don't. Their actions match their damned words, and it drives me insane. And I'm sitting here reading. You know, this is probably the 10th time someone sent me this email.
Okay.
Called Walmart versus the morons. But it's so true. Number one, Americans spend $36 million at Walmart every hour of every day.
Good Lord.
That works out to $20,928 in profit every 60 seconds. Walmart is bigger than Home Depot, Kroger, Target, Sears, Costco, and Kmart combined. They employ 1.6 million people. They're the world's largest private employer, and most of them speak English. They're the largest company in the history of the world. They sell more food than Kroger and Safeway combined. And bear in mind, it only took them 15 years to accomplish this.
Wow.
During the same time frame, 31 big supermarket chains have gone bankrupt. Walmart sells more food than any other store in the world. They have 3,900 stores in the U.S. 1,906 are super centers. This is 1,000 more than it had 5 years ago.
Unbelievable.
This year, 7.2 billion different purchases will occur at Walmart stores. The Earth's population is 6.5 billion. 90% of all Americans live within 15 miles of a Walmart. Then they go on.
Sure.
To President Obama and the 535 voting members, the U.S. Postal Service was established in 1775. You've had 234 years to get it right, and it's broke. Social Security was established in 1935. You have had 74 years to get it right, and it's broke.
Yep.
Fannie Mae was established in 38, 71 years, it's broke. War on Poverty started in 64, that's 45 years. You spend $1 trillion of our money that you steal from us every year, and the poor, well, they want more.
Oh, yeah.
Medicare and Medicaid were established in 64 or 65, that's 44 years, they're broke. Freddie Mac was established in 1970, 39 years, and it's broke. The Department of Energy was established in 1977 to lessen our dependence on foreign oil. It has ballooned to 16,000 employees with a $24 billion a year budget, and we import more oil than ever before. You've had 32 years to get it right, and it's an abysmal failure. You have failed in every government service you have shoved down our throats while overspending our tax dollars. And you want Americans to believe you can be trusted with a government-run healthcare system?
Oh, I know. It's frightening. Well, this is all the social engineering that we're talking about. And we've known that it's been evil. And like you said, it goes back to Plato's Republic, because that's what social justice came from. And that was way back in B.C. time. So,
yep, 380 B.C.
Oh, yeah, there you go.
if you want a timeline, you can see the progression of it.
Yeah. I've said before, these clowns, especially in the beginning of the 20th century, and I'll give you that, going back to Lincoln with all his nefarious nonsense and the Civil War and the Reconstruction and all the rest of it and his Labor Code, they've had a long time to get us to this place that we're in.
Oh, so, God, yes.
It's going to take a long time to get out of it. I'm going to pick up this caller. Hello, you're on the air.
Hi, Linda. Yeah, Bradley.
Hi, Bradley.
How are you? There's a little bit of a delay. I'm on the East Coast. You're on the West Coast. Sorry.
Yeah, we got you loud and clear. We're good.
Okay. Sounds good.
And I gave a nice introduction as to who you are, and we also have Ron from Georgia on the line with us, and you're calling from Tampa, right?
I'm calling from Tampa, correct.
Oh, man. Did you get to see any of the walking vaginas?
No, I didn't get to see any of that stuff, but I did see a lot of people, and it took us about 45 minutes just to get in near the convention center where we were actually doing some interviews over there. But, yeah, it's quite packed over there right now around the RNC convention.
Okay, so what I kind of tried to explain, that I met you about a week and a half ago at this wonderful Vista Tea Party Patriots meeting, and you did a whole hour PowerPoint presentation, which was wonderful. So just go ahead and kind of give a synopsis of who you guys are and what you do and where you go and who you speak to.
Well, again, my name is Bradley Dean. I'm the overseer of a ministry called YouCanRunInternational.com, and I'm also a show host of SonsOfLibertyRadio.com, and we broadcast in 53 countries, today from Florida, last week from California, and in between there from Minnesota. So we're all over the place. But outside of that, we've done over 336 high schools in 22 different states.
Cool.
And we're just basically reaching into the younger generation that, for the most part, people are forgetting about. Interestingly enough, today, Linda, we're staying at a hotel in Orlando, Florida, and USA Today had an article with Obama reaching out to the guess what vote, to the youth vote in Colorado and in Iowa. And that was one of the main topics that I talked about at the Tri-City Tea Party there, was the fact that Obama is reaching into the demographic that I've been reaching for the last 12 years in the public arena in high school assemblies, talking about constitutional issues. And what's interesting to note is, if you look back in history a little bit as to what I was talking about at the Tri-City Tea Party, Hitler went for the church kid. Those were Hitler's youth. And you have Mao Zedong, that reached out into the younger demographic, and now we have Obama doing the same thing. And in 2008, Obama actually captured 68% of the vote between the ages of 18 and 31 years old. So this is what we've been doing for a long time, and now what we're seeing in our day and age is those in government that are starting to do the same things that dictators of the past used to do, and that if that doesn't wake up the American people, nothing will. We need to capture the younger generation, because the vote is secondary to what I'm looking for. I'm just simply looking to educate, show them the price paid for their freedoms,
right.
And once they have a knowledge of the price paid for their freedoms, then they have a reason to stand up and fight.
Oh, yeah. Well, so what's your take on the convention so far?
I was just outside. We were actually with Gina Loudon, and we did some interviews with her and others here in Tampa.
Good.
And so tomorrow morning we will actually be in probably from morning till night. So I could not give you an actual take as to what's going on right now. We just know there's a lot of folks over there.
Okay. I just had last night I was actually in stitches and tears running down my face because Michael Savage was on the air, and he was apparently, his show was aired much later than the convention because he was trying to watch parts of it while he was speaking on the air, and he says, I can't believe it. He pretty much nailed it because apparently, and I haven't seen it, John Boehner spoke and apparently had bellied up to the bar a little bit too much that before he got on, you know, up to the podium. And Michael Savage had us just in stitches. I mean, one of his callers had to pull off the road before he could call him because he was laughing
really?
So hard. Oh, it's hysterical. Yeah, Boehner's a schmendrick. But so
Go ahead.
What I was wanting to also let my audience know is that when you did your presentation for us in Vista, it was fabulous, and you tie in not just the founders, but you tie in the biblical aspect of it and the people who died in all these wars, et cetera, that paid
right.
the price. So,
well, you know, you can't get away from our Christian heritage. I'm humored by people when they say that we're not a Christian nation. I'm trying to figure out which eyeball they've covered up not to look at what's right in front of their face. Because when you go to Washington, D.C., you can see on top of the Washington Monument, it says, praise be to God. And on the stairs on the way up to the peak of that monument, there's scriptures. And when you go to the Supreme Court building of the United States of America, you see Moses and the Ten Commandments on the backside of that building. And it says, justice is the guardian of liberty. And then when you go to the Liberty Bell in our country,
right.
it says nothing but Leviticus 25:10, where it says, proclaim liberty throughout all the land, to all the inhabitants of the land. And it's your money. You look at the Pledge of Allegiance. You look at the crosses over the boys that died and the women that had died to ratify the Constitution of the United States at Arlington Cemetery in the hundreds of thousands. There's just no getting away from who we are, friends. And once people begin to understand who we are, and one of the things that I shared, Linda, was what Woodrow Wilson said, if you don't know where you came from, how do you know where you're going to? And that's what's missing. That's the missing element in public schools today is our Christian heritage, because up until 1962, you used to have to pray in public schools. When you say the Pledge of Allegiance, it says one nation under God. And you used to have to learn Bible courses in some states before you could graduate. And now you're being told everything which stands in contradiction as to who we are and where we came from. So if you want to know what's going on in our country, that's all you have to do is look at the educational system and understand International Baccalaureate, No Child Left Behind, and now they're starting to teach kids the Muslim religion. And so there's no doubt as to who we are. And 86% of America professes their Christianity. I, for one, am just trying to figure out where those 86% are when we tolerate the sort of corruption that we see in this country. We need to stand up and we can win the day, and we are winning the day.
Absolutely. And, Ron, did you have any questions or comments?
No, and I wanted to apologize for my comment there. I hope you understand I was talking about the Code Pink protesters. I wasn't trying to be vulgar there. But I have heard you guys on the radio before, and I think you guys do a great job. What did you think about the? I mean, just the way that the convention has been conducted, the fact that the powers that be, or I call them the mosquito class, they fail to acknowledge the fact that our system of forced charity just isn't working. It's a failure at every level. The government should not be in the business of dictating my religion and whether or not I can express my sentiments of my religion in public. And, you know, to your thing about the youth, I think Ron Paul has done more to energize and educate the youth in this country to the idea of individual liberty, individual freedom in our Constitution than anyone in Washington.
You're exactly right. I don't even know what I need to say to add on to that, Ron, due to the fact that you're exactly right. Ron Paul has captured them. If you look at what's going on in the convention, just talking about the highlights from the news
sure.
of yesterday, Ron Paul, he has his younger constituents in every avenue, in every lane of government right now. And I'm, to be quite honest with you, I'm glad that they're there, because at least they're invoking and inciting the Constitution of the United States. When you look at the left and you look at the right, I'm just trying to figure out, friends, what's the difference? There isn't any. And let me say this, too, to what you said earlier, Ron. We have an economic problem in this country because we have a moral problem in this country.
Amen, brother.
If we're not going to listen to God's Ten Commandments, we're going to listen to man's 10,000. And what we have today is man's 10,000 commandments. And I, for one, am personally sick and tired of it. And by the way, if I can say this with all due respect, because government is an extension of who we are, if I'm going to complain about that government, I need to understand that I'm only complaining about what I tolerate.
Okay,
they are
absolutely.
An extension of who we are.
Absolutely.
But what I wanted to say to you was the fact that when we look at what's going on in our country right now, friends, I've said this 100 times and I'll say it again, we only have a left in this country because of what the right tolerates. If the right would do the right thing all the time, we wouldn't have a left. And to go back to my introduction with Linda, I do high school assemblies. I'm not asking corrupt government for permission to go into public schools and teach them the Constitution. I'm not breaking the law, but I'll tell you one thing I do have on my side, friends, is the law is on my side.
Yep.
And I'm not asking for permission.
Good for you. You know,
absolutely.
What? Does that sound rebellious? Because I'm not the one that's violating the law. They are violating the law. The ACLU is violating the law. What's that organization called? The Americans Separated for Church and State. I mean, it is just, it is baloney, friends. It's unconstitutional. It's unlawful. It's illegal. It's communism. As a matter of fact, the founder for the ACLU, Roger Baldwin, said the end of the ACLU is communism. I'm not going to tuck tail when a bunch of communists are trying to infiltrate and indoctrinate our kids. No way.
The acronym ACLU, my dad used, this was years ago too, he used to call it the American Communist Lawyers Union.
That's right. They're a political belt, and that's all they're doing is indoctrinating the kids. And what they want to do is they want to intimidate anybody that stands up for who we are. And let me remind all of your listeners, friends, that patriot means to uphold dying laws, and a lot of men and women in this country died, fought, and bled to ratify the Constitution, that I am not going to stand back and watch a bunch of corrupt politicians desecrate.
Exactly. Go ahead, Ron.
I was explaining to Linda and the folks over the weekend, and I'm not the most subtle individual in the world, and I tend to overreact at things on occasion. And I try to be accepting of people, and, you know, if you want to have an alternate lifestyle, hey, more power to you, okay? Just do it at home. I don't want to be around it.
Right.
There's a local restaurant that we frequent, and there's a young man that works at the hostess station who desperately wants to be a young lady. And it bothers me. And to the point that I really find myself, I want to get up and just throttle him, you know, because he's a young man. And I'm thinking, you know, I see my son and I'm like, if my son had ever come home wearing eyeshadow and makeup and his hair in a ponytail and, you know, acting all effeminate, I probably would have killed him. I mean, I'd have lost it, you know. But I think what you're talking about, what we tolerate, is absolutely correct. And it just came to me as you were talking about that I don't want to confront the young man on his psychological issues. I really don't. I'd love to reach out to him. But at the same time, I want to be able to, I think I need to have a conversation with his boss and him and tell him, look, you know, I have all the respect in the world that you have these confused emotions, but when I bring my family to this establishment, I don't want to expose them to someone like yourself. So I think at home, that's fine. But I cannot believe that in a public restaurant that they allow this guy to work. And I mean, this is a family establishment. There's a lot of children there. And everyone just treats it like it's no big deal. So I think I'm going to have to, you know, question my frequenting their establishment.
That's right. Because once you do that, then what's going to happen is the owner of the restaurant is going to start asking questions as to why are you not frequenting my restaurant
right.
any longer. And then you have the door. Let him come to you, because I think that's how it operates. But if I can interject one thing to that, Ron, is it's okay for us to have different opinions, but we should all be rooted in the same principles.
Well, sure, and that's what I mean. You know, I don't want to just.
Really bad.
I just don't want to be indignant to the kid.
You know,
clearly he's got enough trouble as it is, without me acting like a jerk towards him. But I literally every time I see him, I'm so offended. I can't stand it. I just want to choke him.
Yeah. Here's if I can answer that. I mean, the best way that I can answer anything is that when we look at the preamble of the United States of America, and every state in our union, it starts out with acknowledging God. And we know that our Mosaic Institution is based on common law, which is bedrock in the Declaration of Independence. We derive our rights from God. And once we realize that our country is established through the Mosaic Institution, through common law, he gives us the knowledge of right and wrong.
And what?
Are we good?
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Okay, yeah.
Sorry, I got my grandkids down here. My wife is wanting something.
Okay.
They're not sure what she wanted.
That's our reference to right and wrong. And we need to keep in mind as to what JFK said. JFK, John F. Kennedy, said that we don't derive our rights from the state. We derive them from the hand of God. And he's exactly right. And so there's a difference between rights and privileges. And what's happening, by the way, if you wanted to get on that homosexual agenda right now, we're seeing this being infiltrated in public schools as well. But the whole homosexual issue across the country, if you look at it and what's behind the curtain, it's about upending the Constitution of the United States. Because once you no longer have control of right and wrong, now you've given up all your sovereignty to the state. Now they dictate. And what they do is then they so choose as to what's right and what's wrong and how you should live and what you should do. And if that's not the case, you just need to look to Canada, because in Canada right now, they're having some serious, serious problems with this homosexual issue. And it came across as the homosexuals being the victims. And people in Canada are now starting to realize it's not about the victims at all. They're finding that they're the victims and that the homosexual agenda are the oppressors.
Yeah, and what was the percentage of the United States of the homosexual population?
1.7%.
Yeah, and the way they've got us snookered to think that they surround us, and it's just ridiculous. It's the same with the atheists.
They're playing they're playing the race card, only it's the
card.
Sex card, you know? And the whole thing is disgusting. It's repulsive. It's absolutely repulsive.
Yes.
It makes me physically ill. I cannot wrap my mind around it. I don't understand it. It's not that I'm afraid of them. They don't frighten me at all. But it is absolutely 100% repulsive. And I don't want my children or my grandchildren exposed to this garbage.
Well, what should frighten you, Ron, is the fact that Kevin Jennings, Obama's Safe Schools Czar, wrote a foreword to a book called Queerifying the Elementary. And then when you look at who Kevin Jennings' icon is, it's a guy named Harry Hay. And Harry Hay is the founder of an organization called North American Man-Boy Love Association, who is found walking up and down homosexual pride parades, shouting sex before eight before it's too late. So if you want to know what the homosexual agenda is about, you need to ask the question, why are they aiming for kids in public schools? And now you have in California where it's mandated from kindergarten all the way to seniors?
Yep.
Some folks, you have a serious governmental moral issue going on in that state, and you best deal with them, because it's not going to get better. It's going to get a lot worse.
Yeah, and you need to have your head examined if you're sending your kids to public school, if that's their policy. That's insane.
Hey, Ron and Dean, I've got Bradley Dean. I've got one gal, my niece, the youngest niece, her kids are 5 and 7, and they are in public school. They've got Port Mazzy in what's called pre-K, and it's terrible. And they passed SB 48, which I typed in the chat room, and under Brown, I think it was, yeah, it was after good old Arnold's Schwarzenhauer. And then because he actually started the cap and trade stuff, but that's another issue, which we're going to go nuts in California. We have been trying to stop and reverse SB 48, which is the LGBT of K through 12 in California, forever. All the Tea Party people have been trying to stop it, but to no avail. It's like batting our heads against a stone wall, and I cannot understand anybody in California at this juncture sending their kids to those indoctrination camps. I just can't understand.
You can't excuse it any longer. And, you know, the interesting point, too, is you have 7 million people in California that voted on Prop 8, which, by the way, a majority of them were a black vote, interestingly enough. And with that, Judge Vaughn Walker, who was found out later to be a homosexual, a federal judge, who recused himself or resigned. It's absolutely amazing the tyranny that's going on in the state of California, because if you're waiting for a different face of tyranny, folks, you've already got it. It's called totalitarianism, and what these people like to do is they like to pull your hair, smack your face, and then cry victim.
Yeah, you know what? We have a radio show host here who used to be, years ago, the mayor of San Diego. His name is Roger Hedgecock. And he says, if you guys want to know what 4 more years of Obama looks like, just move to California. We're living it.
That's right. That's
absolutely
right.
Absolutely. Yeah,
no,
we're
you're
here.
Absolutely right. I do want to encourage you guys on some of the issues here. What we're seeing in public schools, we're not seeing that at all. We're not seeing the homosexual agenda. We're seeing them attempting to break the doors down right now and get in. And what they're trying to do is they're trying to use the ACLU and these other organizations to try to scare anybody that stands up against their agendas. But again, let me just remind you, the law is on your side, and you will win the day if we just incite the law and stay the course.
Yeah, it's really amazing with all this, the ACLU and all the rest of these people, and they are outside the Constitution. It's pretty disgusting. It's really sad that we have to fight through this. But we do.
Well, let me interject again, if I might, with John Adams, the second president of the United States, that he said, our Constitution was made for a moral, a people conformed to the truth of God's law, a moral and a religious, Christian, under the umbrella of Christianity. Religious people, it is totally inadequate. It doesn't work for the government of any other. And what you have, what you're seeing across the country, namely through this administration, is just that. Unconstitutional, un-American, ungodly, and it's also interesting that I've written 2 letters to both to President Obama, confronting him on the homosexual agenda and the abortion agenda, and both times he has responded. And if you'd like to see those letters, you can go on WorldNet Daily. I commentate for WorldNetDaily.com as well. Yes.
Awesome.
Yeah.
I've noticed. If you go back to Karl Marx's Communist Manifesto and you look at the several tenets of that, those documents that he was trying to put forth, one of the main things was to make sure that deviant homosexual behavior, et cetera, is perceived as normal. That's one. So, WorldNet Daily.
Yep. And by the way, Linda, America needs to understand that the media is just promulgating the message and the illegalities of the homosexual agenda and other social issues, along with abortion, through less than 1.7% of the population. Now, if you do the math, there's 312 million people in this country, and you have 1.2% of the population trying to overthrow the voice of them 312 million people. How's that working out for them?
Yeah, you know, here's one thing that I noticed on Glenn's show today. He made a good point where, as you watch the left and this crazy lamestream media, he said we have come to realize, as the Tea Party or people who are, like-minded and we want to go back to the Constitution, et cetera, that that they have made themselves irrelevant. We don't need them anymore. We've got WorldNet Daily. We've got Blog Talk Radio. We've got all of these avenues. We don't need them anymore. And you know what? Pretty soon, those buildings in New York City, like NBC and the rest, they're going to be empty. And we've got to remember.
Their percentage, their approval rating right now is the main state-run media, the NBC, MSNBC, ABC, CBS, you know their approval rating is down to 21% right now?
Yeah, well, that's higher than Congress's.
A little bit. You know what? But what's happening is people are going to different resources to get their information because they're sick and tired of the propaganda and the social issues being thrown on them that they don't want to deal with. They're tired of being lied to.
I call it Pravda. I've been calling it that for 2 or 3 years. I mean, that's what they are. They're just – and they're owned by Soros. They're owned by the White House. You know they are. I mean,
you just seen recently in the New York Times, they blurted out the truth in their confusion when they reported that Obama is actually editing his own news that goes through the state-run media. He has to approve it before it goes out there.
Of course. This is something they didn't expect for that to leak out, I'm sure. There was a really cool video, and I wish I had it at hand, but I think I started. I can't remember. It was Josh Tolley. I guess it was on YouTube. He nailed it. He was very upset with both right and left. I don't know if you saw that one, Ron, but he says, do you think that Ben Franklin and the founders, and they signed their lives and fortunes and sacred honor away for an economic recovery? No, they did it for freedom, true freedom.
That's right.
What's going on, it's just astounding. And I think the YouTube was called Happy Little Hookers Going to the Polls to Vote. It was great because he said, look in the mirror. That's what you are.
Well,
you're stumped out.
And you know, Linda, and I hate to do this because I know a lot of people, you know, get caught up in the politics and the vote. But I've said it before. They use there's a big reason why the presidential election is such a big promotional deal.
Right.
Okay. And if we just stop and think for just a few moments, the election. Electoral College is who elects the president. It is not by popular vote. But of all the elections that are held across the United States, the one that has the biggest turnout is the one that you don't matter. Your vote doesn't count. And these people are out there voting. And it's like, well, wait a minute. We have more than ample evidence that the popular vote doesn't elect a president. It's just that simple. What if they held an election and nobody showed up?
That would be interesting.
Ron, I have to break in if you can hear what's going on. I'm going into a storm. You guys see that Hurricane Isaac they're talking about? We've been getting kind of little blotches of that on and off today, and I'm going through it right now. I'm going to have to sign off, but if you guys would like to check us out, you can go to YouCanRunInternational.com or you can go to sonsoflibertyradio.com. And again, I totally appreciate the time that you've given me, Linda, and it's nice meeting you, Ron.
You too.
Bradley, God bless you, and thank you for all you do, and thanks for coming to the show. Thank you so much.
Thank you, and we'll stay in touch.
Obviously. Yes, thank you so much. I got Jake's email. Thank you. Bye-bye, love.
Thank you. Okay.
Yeah, that was fun. Bradley's a great guy. I don't know if the picture came up on the chat room because I don't have that chat room picture. I tried to load it into Blog Talk Radio, but I was unsuccessful. And I guess I'm going to have Mike Hot Seat or Ron or somebody who's really good with computers teach me how to upload stuff so that I can get it embedded and then put on this audio clip thing. Because
piece of cake.
Okay. If you could email me, like, some kind of a, you know, what do you call it, like a manual or something, then I could do it.
Before you go in for your show,
yeah,
you can go into studio, and if you get on schedule episode,
right,
you find upcoming episode, click on that, go to your episode, click on the edit button,
right,
and it'll bring up your upcoming episode. Scroll all the way down to the bottom.
Okay.
and you'll see the picture of Glenn on the big screen.
Right.
And there'll be a little blue link there, add JPEG, and you click on that.
Yeah.
And you can add any JPEG or GIF picture that you have stored on your computer.
Okay. Now, what about audio stuff? That's my...
Audio stuff, you have to go to, instead of schedule episode, go to my account.
Okay.
When you click on my account, it's going to bring it up. And over on the left, you'll see schedule and edit show, upload and edit audio files.
Wow.
Upload and edit audio files. You click on that. Then you type in a description of what you want to name the file. And then click on select file. And it has to be certain types of files. You find the one you want. Double click on it. It'll add it. And then hit click the I have read and agreed the terms. And then click submit.
Okay. So I'll try that next time. I'll try to get... something, you know, some of this stuff is difficult because it's not embedded. I'll figure it out. I'm still learning.
I have a great setup on my system that I can record anything. And I mean anything.
Wow.
I don't care if it plays across my speakers on my computer, I can record it.
Wow.
And it's called FreeCorder. And there's a converter in there. You can convert it to the type of file you want. You can convert it to an MP3, which plays on just about everything.
Yeah. That's awesome.
And it's really easy. But next time when you get ready, you know, give me a Skype if I'm on, and I'll walk you through it.
Okay, that's great. And then is FreeCorder something you have to buy?
I'm sorry?
Is FreeCorder something you have to buy?
No, that's why it's called free.
Okay. All right. Send me a little email on it and give me some ideas on where to go with that, and I'll try to figure it out. But, as far as the RNC goes, there were some probably very good speakers, and I'm still waiting to see them later because they're on videotape. My mom taped for me last night. But Nikki Haley was good. I mean, I didn't get to see Ann Romney's deal because I haven't got to her yet. But I really would love to see that one that Savage was talking about with Boehner acting like he was half in the bag. That would be funny. Oh my God.
You know, he got booed, and that was such a bunch of garbage when they came out early on and tried these procedural rule changes.
Yep.
And they got a lot of grief, and it wasn't just from the Ron Paul people. There were a lot of people that were pissed off.
There sure were. Yeah, I heard that. I saw that clip.
They should have been. And, you know, to me, it exposes them for who and what they are.
Absolutely.
They want absolute control, but they want you to think that your voice matters, that you're having an impact. And I'm telling you, they pissed off a lot of Tea Party folks yesterday.
Yeah. You know what? I have a feeling that things are really... Mark Levin... Bill was putting something about Rush and Sarah and Mark Levin were all over it. Was that the rule change, Bill? I think that's what he was talking about. Probably. Yeah, because it was... I know Levin was. I think I heard something from his lips on that deal, too. But, yeah, they have exposed... And, I think that the GOP establishment is going to go, you know, be spelled Whig real soon because it's crazy.
They're cutting their own throat. And what, you know, to me, as I was saying last night, I'm mad as hell about this, but at the same time, I think we ought to be celebrating because they have all the rope in the world. And they think they've got it in the bag to beat Obama. And so they think they can just do whatever they want. And they're treating the people that they should be embracing, many of the grassroots Tea Party people, the Ron Paul people.
Right.
You know, Sarah Palin was on the radio months ago. She was on Fox News, and she said, look, I don't think we should be just brushing off these Ron Paul supporters. We should be embracing them because a lot of what they say and a lot of what Ron Paul has to say is the truth.
It is.
And you know, they just won't get it. So
Well, I think they're exposing themselves for being the obstinate, arrogant mosquito class that they are.
Yeah, it's sad because, but in a way, you're right. Look how far the Tea Party and the people like Ron Paul supporters have come in the last 3 or 4 years. So we stay on this and we just keep, you know, doing what we need to do. We can make more strides. We can, you know.
Absolutely.
Trust? Mainstream media has made themselves irrelevant. Well, that establishment's making itself real irrelevant in short order, and we can help them along. So,
and I love last night the token black guy they got to come out who was a Democrat up until 2011.
Oh, and I can't remember his name. Yeah, I saw him. I saw that part. That was awesome.
But he was a pitiful public speaker.
Yeah, badly.
If he was trying to pull off the black reverend preaching, he totally missed it. If he was trying to come off as honest and straight, he totally missed it for me. You know, it's like really, you had that pause. You know, he tried to be a little Jesse Jackson-esque, I think.
Yeah, unbelievable. So it's quite a circus, and the left is just beside themselves. What was that chick's name? A black girl, young, good looking, Mia Love or something like that. Now, what? I just saw something on the Blaze about it.
Is she the one that said, you know, they're having a party while black folks are drowning?
Yeah. Bill's got it. Mia Love. And what is her capacity? Because it's the first time I knew about her.
If that's the one I'm thinking of, I don't know that she has any capacity.
I don't know either. I'm not sure who said it, but I think she was on Glenn's show this morning on the radio. But young Republican and a governor? Okay, I didn't know. I knew that she was somewhere in politics. The things that they called her, I mean, unbelievable. It was totally Bill Maher-esque. I mean, horrible. And they have these people like Chris Matthews, who's completely unhinged, and that Rachel, I call her Mad Cow. I can't stand her. They have the gall to call us that we're extreme and we have rhetoric and hate speech. Excuse me.
She's the mayor of Saratoga Springs, Utah. Sorry.
Oh, okay. All right. Mayor. Yeah. They use anything they want. I mean, and every celebrity that's, you know, who knows what capacity they're in or what their stardom is. They're all coming out tweeting all these horrible things. I mean, I can't. Well, again, they are being exposed for what they are. And hope that a lot of people will wake up, because how can you not? I mean, there must be just, if they're not seeing it, although I think the businessmen are seeing it, and I think the people who are at the convention are seeing it, and people are fed up, you know, and even some of the black churches are fed up throughout the land. If you can't see this, then I think your name should be Helen Keller. You have got to be completely blind, deaf, and dumb. I just don't understand it. Or they just refuse, and they just do like the monkeys with the eyes and ears and, you know. I don't get it. I can't understand it for the life of me. But then I have a little common sense, you know, and I read a lot. So I don't know. It does. It just makes my hair immolate, spontaneously combust. I don't know. They make me crazy.
Well, clearly these people, you know, if someone disagrees with them, they're racist. But if it's a black person who disagrees with them, then they're a house Negro and a whore or an Uncle Tom or a, you know. It's like, look, you guys are only happy when people agree with you and want to wallow with you in your own self-misery.
Well, yeah, there's no free speech unless it's you're in total agreement or you're going to be polite with them, and they can right. get away with anything they want, you know.
We believe
like
in
now.
Free speech as long as it's in our favor.
Oh, Bill was talking about C-SPAN runs current tweet room. The name-calling and attacks, I'm sure they were way out on the limb, yeah. I've heard some of them on the radio. It's crazy. I can't understand it. Well, you know, they have this ideology like Mao and Stalin. You know, if you don't agree with them, they're going to just smack you upside the head or put you in a gulag. That's what they're doing. That's who they act like because that's who they are. I'm done with it. I want freedom. I'm sick of this. I'm tired of tyranny. In fact, I'm wearing my Death to Tyranny Now T-shirt, which is faded, but. Yeah, you get sick of it, and we just can go forward and keep doing what we're doing, getting word out. And I was really happy that Bradley got to call in, and you guys got to hear him because he's amazing. And this guy goes to the colleges as well because he realized he's got to get those poor guys too.
I listen to Sons of Liberty Radio at work, so I listen to it on the computer.
Cool.
Awesome. You know, and I've been listening to them for a while, and I used to listen to. There was two or three others that I mean, I've been listening to not mainstream radio for a long time, probably
awesome.
Since 03, 04, when there was hardly anything on, you know.
Yeah, because I'm going to stop listening to Hannity at 12 noon. I'm just going to turn mine off because this guy, I'm telling you, for the past 2 or 3 months, 4 months, he hasn't changed his opening line one iota. It's become boring. I mean, why not just get a tape?
He's a one-trick pony. All throughout the 08 campaign, it was, He sounded like a damn broken record, and it just pissed me off. He was like a little parrot sitting on the pirate's shoulder. Rah, cracker, cracker, cracker. Like, dude, get off of it all.
You know, it's sad because I'm afraid his days in radio and TV are numbered if he keeps this up. I'm serious.
There's still the trust me.
Yeah. Yeah.
There's enough women out there like Elizabeth Hasselbeck that probably just get weak in the knees and swoon on her damn high heels every time she hears Sean Hannity's name mentioned.
Oh, boy. Are you suggesting she has round heels, Ron?
My God. And, you know, you want to like people. I mean, I really want to like people, but she is the biggest neocon snit I've ever seen. She makes me want to slap her. I mean, just grab her by the freaking lapels and slap her teeth right out of her mouth and tell her, shut up, you sniveling little twit, and pay attention. You might learn something.
I know, it does boggle the mind. Again, my hair just spontaneously combusts at times.
And
the
scary thing to me, and I know I'll probably catch some heat out of all of this, but out of all the women on that program, The View, which I do not watch, by the way, I've only occasionally watched a clip here and there when they had Jesse or when they had Alex Jones on or when Ron Paul came on. The only woman up there that has two brain cells bumping into each other is Whoopi Goldberg.
You know, I don't agree with her politics, but yeah, at least she's honest. Man,
she may not agree, and she will sit and reason things out.
Yep.
And you know what? I give her all the credit in the world. All the rest of those women up there are out of their flipping mind. They're either off the cuff, in the tank for the damn progressive libs, or they're in the tank for the neocons.
Yep.
And I'm running out of time.
Yeah. I know. Thank you for calling in. It was great to hear both of you. And I got 1 minute left. You guys have got to tune in for Terry's show tomorrow. Patriot Education. It's always a great show. And I will be there too. And Friday, I know we can tune into Mike's show because I don't think we have Brian anymore on our radios right now. Michael Magic's got a show coming up Saturday. I do not want to miss that. So that will be happening 7 p.m. Eastern on Blog Talk, Exposing the Illusion. And blessings to everyone. Thank you so much for tuning in. And I'm going to try to get that up again and play my song, because see if that will work for a second.